You want to come closer? Guys, come here.
Okay. They want, but the baby doesn't. So, so, and we usually preach together because we speak for family and we like to have a balance for both sides, men and women. Okay, so everything that we prepared here, we prepared together.
Sure. Yes.
So we are going to be...
Yeah, we're going to... Can give that one. You can give
more. Yeah, we have a handout for you guys so you can follow everything that you're going to be talking. So, as we said, Valdir and Alessandra, we are from Brazil. You know, we came to Canada 21 years ago, almost 23 years. Yeah, 23 years ago. So our tongues is still want to speak Portuguese.
There you go. Okay. Fighting for the mic. Very good.
I like that because my background is Italian and we like to talk with our hands. So
yes.
It would be better for me.
Yes. Very good. This is our first time in Edmonton. We've been to Calgary a couple of times and to Vancouver, but in Edmonton, first time, and we love it.
Yeah,
love
we kind it, love of it, love hate it. And love you guys.
Why?
Be Alberta, what? Because you guys took so many of our people
yes.
from our church.
Yes. A lot
they
of
moved
people.
Here,
yes.
But we
left
love you
our
guys.
Region. Yes, yes.
There's a mixed feeling there.
Yes. A lot of this is growing, and a lot of people moving here after COVID. There was a lot of exit happening, people moving over here.
Mm-hmm.
We love you guys. And yes, continue, I'm sorry.
Okay, so we are from Viva Church, from Pastor Franks. He was here maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
He's speaking to you guys, and we know the Pastor Frank and Chris for more than 30 years.
Yes.
Much more than that, yeah. Back in Brazil.
When we were all friends. Singles.
Yes. They got married 6 months after us. But we work together back in Brazil.
Yes. We have 2 kids. We have JV, John Victor, but in Portuguese, João Vitor. So João Vitor is 28. He was born in Brazil. He was 5 years old when we left Brazil. He is the worship director at Viva, and he is also the coordinator for all volunteers in the house. So he's a full-time in the church. He's dating. He is going to be engaged in next year.
Very soon.
Wedding next year. That's what they're planning. So we're very happy. And we have our daughter, Ana Paula. That's how we say. Ana Paula, she's 18. She's now doing business at the college. She's also dating. And she plans to get married in 2 years. So help us, Lord. Yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
Help me, God.
Very good.
So we are elders at our church.
Mm-hmm.
We are in three couples, elders, so we are one of them. And I'm also the executive pastor for the church.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of all the admin for the church, and so that's
yes.
what I do. And together we pastor the families at Viva Church.
Yes, family. So we do all the stuff for the parents, all the stuff for the married couples. So we have events throughout the year for families, different things. Coming up, as we arrive there, back we're back there Sunday night, right? Remember, first you asked for us to stay on the Monday. But when we arrive, we have our family event there. It's a couples event. It's called the One Conf. We do once a year for the couples. So we got to be back, and then we're going to be speaking at the conference. But I also oversee the hospitality department. So that's why I wanted to see your info, your welcome center. So I oversee 5 teams in the hospitality department. So it gets busy. It's good.
Yeah,
we love it.
We have
yes.
almost 250 volunteers
now.
In
yes.
our church.
Yes.
Every Sunday we have around 7 to 80 people volunteering
yeah.
in the church. So it's a big job that we have there.
Yeah. Church
but
is
it's
growing.
So good. Church is growing, doing well, and you know that's what God is doing it.
Yes.
You know, there's a revival coming in. How many of you here, guys, pray for a revival?
We
yeah.
have been praying
so
for
so we are seeing this happen.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and we believe that it's going to happen here too because it's for Canada.
Yes.
It's not going to be like those revivals that we saw before, tons of people coming at the same time and all
tent
of those
meetings,
things.
No.
Yes, but it's coming little by
church,
little because
yes.
COVID did something. We were just talking about COVID and there was something bad about COVID, but there was a good
something
side
good.
Of COVID
yes.
that we are seeing that people just, in the beginning, everybody was going online and watch services online, but they were missing the fellowship, the
yes.
one another. And now people are coming
yes.
out and they are going to some depression because of all of those things. And they are finding the answer in the church,
yes.
in Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So
yes.
that's very good what's happening.
Yes. Amen. And we want to get to know you guys a little bit.
Yes. Can you just tell me, guys, you can start there, something just short. What do you do? Which area are you in, or if you lead a small group? Or yes. Something like that. Can you let us know in for how long?
Yeah, and also where you work. We want to know also if you came from another country. If you're from Canada, just say Canada. But if you came from another country, then we want to know. Our church is pretty mixed. There's a mixture of all nations. But that's what Canada is about. So we want to know where you came from. So you can be first. People, that's what he loves. He came and died for us to be together, for us to have this. This is an amazing thing. Because now we get to interact with one another, to experience each other's culture a little bit. Even though we are in Canada, we bring a little bit of our culture, and then here everybody share. It's amazing. I love it. Yeah. I think heaven is going to be something like this, because Canada is everybody together. Brazil is pretty much like that. Brazil is a mixture of nations, but once you are born in Brazil, you don't mention where you come from anymore. You are done. You are Brazilian. We are both Italian descent, but we only mentioned this after we came to Canada, because yeah. You always said, we're Brazilians, we're Brazilians, we're Brazilians. But where do you come from? Oh, yeah, we are Italian descent. Oh, so you're Italian. And we said, no, we are Brazilians. So in Brazil, if you're born there, you're Brazilian, and that's it. So we're so happy to be here. Tonight, guys, we really just prayed and for what to bring, right? Because when Pastor Leonard said we wanted to bring a word for the leaders, we were like, okay, what is in God's heart to bring to you guys?
And yeah, the whole thing with the church, guys, it starts here.
Yes.
So that's what we need to understand. If you whatever you want to see in the church is going to start in the leadership.
Yes.
Whatever you have, you're going to pass down.
Yeah.
So we need to be open for what God wants to do with us in our own lives as a leaders. You know, you're in a leader position. It's not just because by a case that you're there. Yes. God first put you there. He chose you to be a leader.
Yes.
Okay, so to influence people.
Yes.
And that's what His heart for you. So I just want to pray now and just... Guys, just surrender. I know that some of you went through the work and there had a long day, and now you're here, and now you need to be focused. Just surrender that time to the Lord, yes. And just ask what the Holy Spirit wants to speak with you
tonight.
Because I believe that God has something especially for you. I don't know what you're going through, you know, but I believe that God wants to take to a new level. He wants to take this church to a new level.
Yes.
Okay? And it's going to start on you, guys.
Yes.
It's so new. But yes. Don't think, oh, that's heavy. No, it's not, because we have the Holy Spirit with us.
Yes.
And He makes the thing easier for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just need to be sensitive to His voice and see where yes. He's leading us. Yes. Amen?
Amen. I'm so before you pray.
Uh-huh.
I just feel like a lot of the times we see the lead pastors, they are carrying the load, and they are carrying the load. There's a mantle, we know that. But you also carry the load. The load of the church is distributed with all of you. Do you get it? So there is what? Anointing that goes out of you. There is, you have leadership that goes, you are influencing people. So remember that what you do matters. What they do matters. But what you all do matters. You can't just, whatever, it's not influencing. Whatever you do, people are watching you to see how you respond to things. They are watching you to see how you treat one another. How is your marriage? How do you deal with your kids? How do you discipline them? They're watching you in everything. And before you know it, people are following you. So that's why it is so important that us in this level understand whatever we are doing here, we're going to see coming in the rest of the church. Oh, look at that size of that baby. Amen. Amen. Distracting. That's distracting. Oh, yeah, yeah. Amen.
We cannot have any more.
No.
Okay.
We can't.
Just grandkids now.
Amen.
All right.
Let them come.
So, Father, we just, Lord, surrender this night to you, Father. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and speak with us, O Lord. We just surrender to you, Father, all of our tiredness from the day, Lord, whatever you went through, Father God, because we know that you are in control, Father. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, now that you speak with us, Lord. We want to have an open heart, Lord, to hear your voice, O Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you take us to a new level, Lord. Give us insight, Lord, that comes from you, Father. Lord, we pray. pray in the name of Jesus, O Lord, that you bless, Lord, all of those leaders that are here tonight, Lord. That you anoint them, Father. That they're going to be people that are going to go out, Father. And they're going to touch, Lord, the people under them, Lord. That the Lord, that the anoint will come from the head, O Father God. And they will be able to pass to the others, O Lord. So we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Are you ready to see the areas that you influence grow? Are you prepared to see increase? Are you? Do you want it to increase? Or are you comfortable the way it is? Just think about it. Oh, it's going okay like this. Just think about this. Because if you feel familiar and you feel comfortable, then pretty much this is how it's going to stay. Do you want it to grow? So the first thing that has to enlarge is yourself and your thinking. Things have to align with the will of the Lord. Okay, so I want this to increase. Okay, but we have to prepare and increase our thinking first and get ready for the growth. Because once the growth happens, we can't get ready then. It's too late. I want the growth. Well, let's prepare, make everything ready because the Lord is going to give the growth. What I just saw here, remember the woman that, the widow that had the vases of the oil? That the prophet said, "What? Go get vases, get your kids to go get vases, bring them in." And she's pouring oil, pouring oil, pouring oil. The oil only stopped what? When there was no more vase. The Lord is ready to pour. He wants to give more and more and more. But you have to make room. You don't make room, there's no growth. The moment there was no more room for the oil to go, the oil ceased. Do you get it? So, I want growth in my ministry. In the worship, we need growth. We need growth in the kids' ministry. We need growth in our life groups, yes. So, make room so that the Lord can start what? Pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. Get ready for multiplication in all areas. Because the Lord is not limited by anything. The only thing that can limit God is our thinking and our not preparing for the growth. What limited God said, it's done, was her. When she said, this is the last vase. Fill up, over. Got it? So I just felt prepared. Open your thinking. As you pray the more, you need to open your thinking now because I feel the Lord is going to stretch you a little bit. So get ready and just think about your life and your ministry where you serve. Mm-hmm.
Because if you're praying for your ministry under you, a lot more teachers or more singers, more increase in the worship, a small group, whatever, maybe God is not sending that yet because he wants to prepare you.
Yeah.
Change your mindset for you to receive that. You know, so you need to get ready before they come. So, because when you start applying the word of God in your life, whenever they come, the thing is going to be easier for you to do. Because if you have too many people under you, and now you need to put your house in order, it's going to be harder.
Yeah.
So it needs to be flowing on that.
Yes.
Whenever they come, they see what's happening already in your life.
Yes.
And that's what God wants, to take to a new level, okay, and bring the people. So
Amen.
You're going to be talking a lot about families this weekend, but today we want to talk to you guys. You're going to be talking a little bit about family, but to the leaders, what God wants for you.
Amen?
Amen? So we have 4 points to give you guys. And the first point is...
You guys have your paper there?
Yeah, you have a paper.
Yeah. We wanted all the verses with you so that you guys can write down. If you have any question...
You have an extra paper. Soda.
Somebody here, yeah. Everybody has a paper or not?
Yeah.
Okay, no paper there. What about you, honey? Do you have paper?
Who doesn't have a paper?
There.
You?
Yeah. This paper is just for you to follow, but all the verses are there. Write down the question. At the end, we're going to have an open talk, an open conversation. You can ask any question. So if whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the message, write it down. And then at the end, we're going to address every single question. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the first point that we have for you guys is strive to cultivate and preserve unity.
Yeah.
Strive to cultivate and preserve unity. So we need to do this here first. With the whole church, we want to see them united.
Yes.
But this needs to start here.
Yeah.
Because they see if there's no unity here, do you think it's going to flow? It's not. They want to see here in you, in between you guys, in your small group, in your whatever area you are leading. Are you talking the same language? Let's see. John 17, verse 20 to 23. This is Jesus praying. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I'm in you. And I have, may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I'm in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Wow. So this is Jesus praying. I remember when I was just got saved and I was reading this. Wow, this was Jesus praying for me. Wow. I was there on that prayer because he's saying for the one that's going to believe. So he was asking that they will be one. That was Jesus was asking the Father. I pray that they will be one like you and me, that we are one. I want them to be one also.
Yes.
So can you imagine Jesus was praying that the same thing that he has with God, that they are one, he wants that for us? So that's possible. Verse 22, he says, I have given them my glory so they may be one as we are one. So he gave his glory so that we can be one.
Wow.
Like him and the Father is one. In verse 23, he says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So if you want our church to experience perfect unity, we, the leaders, must first walk in unity. Sometimes we are seeing people under us that will say, okay, I wish they were united, more united, or you're seeing things. But are we walking in unity? So we need to show them this to them. So what happened in this level flows down to the rest of the church. Don't expect that you guys are not walking in unity and the church is going to be united. It's not going to happen. Because they see. It's like inside of your homes, you know, when you have a problem inside there with husband and wife. The kids will feel, don't they? Yeah, so the same thing happens in the church. If we are not speaking the same language here, when people come from outside, they will feel, okay, there's something here. There is something in the air. And so if you want the church to be living in unity, we need to be united. Mm-hmm. Let's see Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. How good and pleasant is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured out on the head, running down to the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe, for there the Lord commanded his blessing, life forevermore. So the anointing comes from the head.
Yes.
No, the pastors are the head of the church, but all of you guys in leadership are the head too. So if the anointing is coming from there, and there is some problem around here, the anointing is not going to go down.
Yeah.
It's going to stop. So we need to be in unity because that's what the word says, mm-hmm. that the anointing flows from the head.
Uh-huh.
So what happened in this level flows down to the church.
Yes.
You need to remember this. How do you want to have the church?
Yes.
You know, a church that it's united in love for God and, you know, in AA and amen. So you guys need to be those ones. If the leadership is struggling to walk in unity, the church will have a hard time to walk in unity. And we are the matures here. We are leaders. We're supposed to have a certain level of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be walking what the Word tells us to do. So be practicing what the Word tells us to do. But if we walk in unity, the church will walk in unity also. If we are walking in unity, they're going to see that. Say, wow, I want that. I want to live like that. So God, and when we do that, what happens? It says there that God commands his blessing.
Right.
Amen?
Amen. Now my question to you is, think about where you serve. Do you see unity? Think about in your house. Are you united, in unity, flowing in unity with your spouse? How's that going? Oh, no, no, in my house we're having a little trouble. We are not seeing eye to eye. But when we come to church, everything is okay. We just have to get things done. It's not like that. If in your house you're not practicing unity, you can't pretend you are united when you come to the house of God. It starts with you and your spouse. It starts in your house. And then we come here. If they are not practicing unity in their house, it's going to affect you guys. If you're not practicing unity in your house, it's going to affect those under you guys. And you guys are the leadership. How are you guys communicating in your house, husband and wife? She's the only one that's not being involved. But how are you guys, husband and wife, in your house doing the unity? Do you feel the oil flowing? When you come here, it's just oil flowing, hallelujah. How is that? It's serious, right? Let it flow. That's what it is. But if we want to see the church united, because the verse that he said, that was Jesus praying, and he said, I want us to be united, to have such a perfect, that's the verse, such perfect union that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them the way you love me. This is Jesus, guys. Is the world seeing that you are so united that they can see that the Father sent Jesus and that he loves them the way that he loves Jesus? Are they getting this feeling when they come? This is serious. It challenges us. It challenges all of us. Right? The unity is what's going to give the world the revelation. That's what the verse said. That's the prayer of Jesus. The unity that we have, it's going to tell the world that the Father sent me. That's what he said. There is no unity. The world will not have the revelation that Jesus was sent by the Father. We block the revelation and then, oh, okay, we're going to come to church just to hang out. But they're missing the one thing that is to know that Jesus is the Savior, sent by God. This is huge. It's all on the unity. He said that they would have such perfect unity like we have. How is the perfect unity happening in your house? How is the perfect unity happening in this level? How is the perfect unity happening in eldership? Just start thinking about that. Now we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 1:10. This is Paul. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. Do you know what to appeal means? And a lot of people from other nations, and we struggle too because we have a lot of mistakes in the English. It's not our first language. So what to appeal mean? To appeal, we research, to make an urgent request. So Paul is saying, I'm making you an urgent request. Come on, guys. He's preaching to the church. That's us. This is not the world out there. This is the church. I urge you, that's what he's saying, that in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's the verse, in the name of Jesus, guys, I urge you. I don't think Paul was just, I urge you, guys. I urge you in Jesus' name. I don't think he was doing this. So look what he says. I appeal to that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. The same thing that Jesus said, he's saying, that you may be perfectly united, not united, perfectly united. Jesus said that they will have such perfect unity. Do you see? The perfect takes it to the next level, guys. How is the unity in this level? I urge you guys, leaders, brothers and sisters, I urge you that you have one mind, that there will be no divisions among you. Is there divisions? Oh, I think this, but I think, did you see what the other person said? Did you see what so-and-so did? Oh, I don't think that's right. I really don't agree with that, but they're doing whatever. How is the perfect unity happening in this church? How is the perfect unity happening in your house? Oh, I'm doing this. Don't tell your mom. Just don't tell your mom. This is our secret. I'm doing this. Don't tell. I'm going to buy this. Don't tell your dad. This is a secret. So that's what? Breaking the perfect unity. Because if he can't know, then we're divided. If I'm doing something that he can't know, I'm breaking the unity. I'm not in perfect unity. And I'm not representing Jesus. And that prayer that he did, I'm failing him. And when the world is seeing us, are they thinking, oh, God really sent Jesus? No. Because the unit is going to make that revelation to the people. God sent you to come. And he loves us the same way he loves us. Do you see? We break the flow, and there's a problem. We break the flow, and there's a problem. Paul is urging us to walk in the unity. That's what he's saying here. If there is blessing, what do you think is going to happen? Because the verse on Psalms says what? When you walk in unity, God commands his blessing. Boom. He flows from the head down like the oil coming down Aaron's head. Aaron was the high priest, and then there was priests under him, and then the whole multitude, right? But the anointing, the oil was poured on him, and then it flows down everywhere. But if we break the unity, what happens? The oil, the anointing doesn't flow down anymore. The unity breaks the flow of the blessing. Then the blessings being commanded stops. It stops. That's what the verse was saying there. So, do you think that Satan wants you to be united? Just answer that question. It annoys him. He's going to do everything that he can to break the unity. Why? To stop the blessing from flowing. You're not united. Boom. She's talking about the other person. He's complaining about the other. Breaking the unit. Why? Blessing stops flowing down. I want the church to be blessed, but the church is not going to get nothing because the leadership is not one. They're not living as one, so it's not going to go down. He will try everything to break the unity so the blessing can be stopped. How does he break the unity? Differences. Differences. Oh, we're so different. Oh, we're so different. You think this different than me and you have this. The difference will annoy one another. Look at your marriage. The things that you are different, are you doing okay? Or is it annoying you a little bit? Amor, can't you do this like what I asked you 1,000 times? Right? We all have those things. So, okay, the differences is what Satan throws at us to get us, to get that bait. When the difference is supposed to really be a blessing. He sees different than me. Praise God. Why? Because if everything was like me, it was going to be in a way I couldn't handle. But he balances me out. So the difference is there to bring blessing. But Satan says the difference is there, boom, to annoy you. But that's not how God made it. God made the difference to be a blessing. Because if he wanted everything to be the same, he would say, woman marry a woman, and guy marries a guy.
Nope.
Do you see it? But he said, no, you are very different. Eve is not in Adam anymore. Now Adam needs Eve back with him. Do you get it? You're totally different than him. When he created Eve, she is not in Adam anymore. Now Adam needs her back. So the two being different completes one another. So the difference is not to annoy, but it's to make it better than it was if it was just one style. Do you get it? What else? What else irritates? What else does Satan throw at us to bring division? To separate. Competition. Competition. Do we see competition in the church? Yes, many times. Even in the leadership. Oh, but so-and-so did that, but I'm doing better here. But so that competition. Who is doing better? Which group is serving better? Which life group is multiplying faster? What's happening here? Which one is singing better? Oh, when he's singing, he's leading, the people really raise their hand. But when the other one is doing, no, the people are not doing. So this is not as good. So I'm better. Competition in our midst. In our household. Oh, the kids, who do they like better? Do they like mom or dad better? Dad, he said. What about selfishness? What about offense, guys? Offense is probably the biggest thing. What's offense? The person did something that you didn't like that kind of hurt you, and now you never healed. You never went to deal with this and took it out of the offense. I'm a little offended today. The person said that, made that comment. So the moment you take that bait from Satan, ooh, division, here we go. Woo, blessing stops flowing. Why? Because it broke the unity. Shh, the blessing is not going to flow. And you guys are the leaders. What comments are you making? What comments do you make when you are together with other people? What comments is coming out of your mouth? Is it uplifting? Or is it putting a little question? Wow, yeah. Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah. Already, the division. Blessing, cut off. Immediately. Division and unresolved issues. We as leaders must at all costs strive to maintain unity. Do you know why we need to strive, guys? Because it doesn't flow naturally. Oh, I wish we all lovey-dovey, everything is good, but it is not like that. We have a sin nature in us. All of us have a sin nature. We're going to talk about this tomorrow, so I'm not going to enter into that. We're not going to go in there. But we all have the sin nature. So that, oh, togetherness doesn't flow naturally. We have to strive. So when he offends me, or when he does something that I get offended, not necessarily he wanted to offend me, but he would do something and I got hurt. Why did he say that? What happens here? I have to what? Strive to come back to him and unite. Because immediately if I take that bait and get offended, if I don't resolve, we're divided. The moment we became two and not one, because we're one, what happens? Ooh, the blessing gets stopped. Not only us are not receiving the blessing, our kids are not receiving blessings anymore. And now because we are elders at the church, then the church is having a problem now. Why? Because there's a cutoff of blessings coming down. Because when we walk in unity, the blessing flows from the head down. Make sense? Make sense? Oh, my kids are struggling. Why are your kids struggling? Why are your kids have? Oh, is that there's this happening in the house and this, they're not getting along. There's a lot of sickness. Why? Have you asked yourself if you have something to do with this? I'm not saying that everything that they're struggling is because we're doing something, okay? But we need to check ourselves. Is it something that we're doing that is causing this? So as soon as we detect any offense or any thought that divides, any thought that comes, because the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. The moment an accusation comes to your head against your spouse, against your children, against your parents, against somebody from the church, against somebody at work, the moment you take that bait, what happens? Division entered. He divides, and then the moment we think we need to say, okay, this is an accusation, I'm not going to entertain, I'm going to deal with this right now. I'm going to deal with this right now. Because if you entertain, you're giving Satan side. Ephesians 4 says this, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So what does this mean here? Angry. It's not that necessary that you're screaming, but it's an offense. I'm angry now. Why did he do this? Why did she say that? It offended me, hurt me. It's an offense. But he's saying here, do not let the sun go down. Another version says, don't go to bed with the offense. Do you get it? Deal with this. Don't go to bed. Don't let the sun go down or the moon go down. Don't go to bed. Don't put your head on the pillow. Because if you do, you gave the devil a foothold. That's what the Bible says. What does that mean? So when you receive that thing, you need to deal with it right then. When? As soon as the Holy Spirit speaks, I don't know, I'm just feeling that. That really hurt me. And you feel the Lord Spirit, just release, just forgive, just talk. You have to deal with. But what's the latest you can take? What's the latest? Answer me. Until you go to bed. Until the sun goes down. Okay, we practice this until this go to bed. This verse teaches us to deal with the offense the same day it happens. When we don't deal with the same day, we give the devil a foothold. That's what we're saying. We give the devil an advantage in our family to harass us and our children, to harass the people under us in the church. And things start to, because of an offense, that's how it goes. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, therefore I want men to pray everywhere by lifting up hands that are holy and pure without anger and argument. Why am I only speaking here?
I don't know. Well, you decide that.
Oh my gosh. Therefore I want men to pray.
I'm enjoying that.
Everywhere by lifting up holy hands, holy and pure hands, without anger and argument. Do you know what that means? Do you know what this means? This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He's talking, training Timothy for the church. Timothy is the pastor now. Do you know what that means? I want men and women to lift up holy hands that are pure and holy without any type of division. That's what this means. Because if there is division, according to this verse, our hands are impure. Division, dissension, or what? Resentment, contention is making our hands impure. How are your hands when you come to worship the Lord? Are they pure? How is your house? There's a division. I feel offended. Hands are impure. I'm upset with my husband. Deal with it the same day. Don't leave it for the next day because you just gave Satan a foothold in your marriage, in your family. This is serious, guys. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. Are you dealing with the offenses in your household or just piling them up, piling them up, piling them up? You're still living under the same roof. How is that going? Satan is not joking. He is serious against us to destroy the family because everything began with family. The first thing God created with mankind was family. If family is destroyed, there's nothing else. There's nothing to hold on. So we need to deal with this. So we need to ask for forgiveness. We can't afford to have division in our midst because what? There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. When a long time ago, I don't know how many years, maybe 15 years, there was a situation in our church and I got really offended with the leadership. In the leadership, we have several people and I got offended in a meeting that we had. We were about 8 people or something. And I really hurt and I went home and the Lord said, "Are you offended?" I said, "Yes, I am because of that comment." That should never have happened, that comment. That was really out of place, and I'm really not good. And I have the right, and that's what I said to God. And the Lord said, "Are you sure? Are you sure? Do you want to release? The comment was wrong, but do you want to release and bring?" I said, "No, I don't want to release. I have the right." The person should never have said, "The person should come and talk to me." When the day, giving the devil a foothold, blessing completely stopped in my house. Cut off the blessing flow right there. Second day, go to prayer. "Lord, so how is that situation in your heart?" "No, the person never called me to apologize." "So do they owe you an apology?" "Yeah." How does that fit with the Bible? I don't think it does. Right? And then the next day, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. On the 8th day, the Lord said, "How many more days are you going to hold my blessing to reach your children? How many more days? You want Satan to have a say in your house? You choose." And I froze. And I started crying and crying and crying. And I repented, talked to the person, resolved it. So on the 8th day, Satan got kicked out. But for 8 days, I gave him the advantage. How many days are you with the offense? How many days? I don't know. So we need to deal with this as soon as it happened, preferably on the same day, so that our hands can be pure and the blessing can come down because the unity is restored. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hands are pure, unity restored. What's the third thing that's going to happen? Blessing is going to flow down. You want blessing to reach your kids? Generations, yes. So we need to do our part. Hallelujah, wow. Jesus.
Amen. So that's what happened too. This will happen in the church, but that can happen inside of our homes, guys, in between husband and wife.
Yes.
You know that we offend one another when we just, "I don't want to talk about this," and just go to bed without talking and just turn our back to one another. And okay, but the enemy is going to be there talking. You know, I learned this from some years ago. Whenever those things happen, I'm going to go and talk to her right away. Yeah. I don't wait anymore. Yeah. I just want to get out of this, you know, because if not, our kid is going to feel the thing. So we need to clear out. Even sometimes we are coming to the church inside of the car. I don't know. It maybe just happened this with us. You know, that everybody are in the side of the car and boom. Something happened. Now we just need
Sunday
to put
morning,
happy face
check.
And hey, how are you? Yeah, peace, peace, peace in our house is a war inside of the car, huh? So we need to make things right. Buy another car and come in separate cars. Maybe you solve the problem. Then I don't know, but you need to do something. Whenever those things happen, guys, we need to make sure that you come united again and ask for one another. Because most of the time, it's just because of our pride.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about it. You know, I have the right to feel offended because what she said, what he said. And we don't. You know, Jesus had all the right to get offended.
God, yes.
Yes, and he didn't. He came and died on the cross for us. Yeah. So who we are that you're going to hold offense.
Wow.
So whenever those things happen, guys, make sure that you go and talk. Mm-hmm. That was point number one. You strive to preserve unity. It's not going to be easy, but you know if you do it, you're going to see after a while it's going to be natural. It's not going to be that hard anymore.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it's kind of, they don't know. Like I ask you guys, cross your arms. Okay? In the other way now.
Cross it the other way.
So some people are very easy. I need to think, how do I do? Do you know? And that's what's going to happen with us. In the beginning, it's not going to be natural. We need to think about. But after a while, we are going to be doing it. You know? Some people are just natural on that. They don't get offended. It's not like me. Okay?
Point number two.
Point number two. Your family is your first responsibility.
Wow.
That's big. Said, oh, I thought it was the church. No, your family is your first responsibility. We know that you are busy. You have your house, your work, and the church to take care. We just ask you guys, and most of you have a job outside, a secular job, and you work at home, some taking care of four kids.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. And you know, and now came to the church at night.
Wow.
So life is busy, guys.
Yeah.
So there we have a lot of things to take care. But out of those three things, house, work, and church, the most important one is going to be your family.
Yes.
We cannot neglect your family for anything else.
Right.
You know, but if you put things in order, you're going to see that everything's going to fall in place, flow in place. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith.
Wow.
Such people are worse than unbelievers.
Wow.
That's a hard word. That's an ouch right there.
Uh-huh.
You know, because sometimes we put other things in front of our family, and you shouldn't be doing that. So according to this verse, our first responsibility is our family and not the church. We want to work for the church, of course, but we need to take care of our family.
Mm-hmm.
Many times, leaders invert the order of priority and put church above family, but this was never God's plan.
Wow.
The first thing that God created was family there.
Yes.
After Adam and Eve put them together, was a family. Church came a while after. Okay? So God didn't call you to the ministry for you to neglect your family. Your spouse and children should never feel that the church is more important to you than them. Church people call you, example that I want to give, church people call you and you just to talk about a problem. You're just there, I'm going to go here now, let's go for a coffee, let's go and talk. But whenever your family asks or your kids want something, okay, dad, let's play ball or something, say, oh, I'm too tired. What do they think? How they're going to feel? So the church is more important. And we see so many pastor kids or leaders' kids that they don't want to have anything with the church because of that. Because they didn't have the balance. The parents didn't have the balance with them. So your family wants you to do something and you're tired. That's what happened there. Your wife said, oh, let's talk. Oh, no, I'm too tired. I was with this person there trying to solve their problem, but now I'm tired and you're not having time for them. So that's not good. When we keep the order of priority in place, our family is blessed and so our ministry. Because if you come to the church and you're having problem in your house with your family, do you think they're going to be serving your best here?
No.
We are not. We are not going to give our best to God. But if you know that your family is taking care, yes, that everybody is happy at home,
wow,
you're going to come to serve,
so good,
and you're just going to feel good.
Yes.
You're going to be much more productive if you're doing that. So what is the benefit of counseling a lot of people and help them to do better in life, but have your own family hurt and destroyed?
Wow.
So it's not good. There's no benefit on that. So we need to be taking care of our families. One of the keys of succeeding in marriage, family, work, and ministry is not losing the order of priority. Mm-hmm. Marriage first, we need to take care of our marriage. Then our family, our kids, the work, we need to work so that we can provide for them. And after that, the ministry. If you have those things in order, in priority, you're going to see that everything is going to flow well.
Yes, yes.
So everything is going to flow well. You know, but when you start putting one in the front of the other, you're going to have a problem.
Yes. We're going to have a few questions for you now. I want you to think about it, okay? So what about the church? The church, yes, we're going to take care of the church. But it's like what he said. If your family is lacking your commitment, you're neglecting them, your ministry is going to fail as well. Nothing is going to go well. Because you are not doing what God told you to do first. Your family comes top priority. Okay, so here we go. How is your marriage? That's the first thing I want to ask. Because a family begins with a husband and wife becoming one. That's how marriage begins. That's how family begins. So how is your marriage? Think about it. Are you having time alone with your spouse daily? That's the first question. Some people already laughing here because they're already saying, no, we're not. That's the first question. Are you walking in agreement and unity? Are you deciding together, guys? Or you one makes a decision, communicates the other. The other makes a decision, communicates, I bought a car, and then I'm just telling you, I bought a car. Oh, no. You bought a car? Yeah, I just bought a car. Now we're moving to Edmonton. What? Yeah, I just decided I bought a house in Edmonton. We're going to move to Edmonton. What? Yeah. How do you decide? How is your marriage? This is not even counting.
Don't think that is a joke, guys, because we have saw those kinds of things happen there.
Yeah, this is all based on our experience.
The what?
Yeah. Are you taking care of the offenses that are coming between you two daily? As the Bible said, don't put your head on the pillow until you fix the offense. How is that going? How is that going? Every day you talk to your spouse and fix whatever was offense of the day. Do you ask for forgiveness? When you fail your spouse, this is marriage. When you fail your spouse in the Holy Spirit, that was so wrong. Just go and apologize. Do you go? Humility? Or are you prideful? Oh, no, whatever. Brush it off. Keep going. Do you forgive? Do you forgive? Or are you holding that grudge? Because the more you hold, you're going to become a bitter person. That's what's going to happen. Offense becomes that resentment, and then it becomes bitterness. That's like that flavor that when you speak, it comes out. Everything that you do comes out is bitter because of the offense that is not treated. Are you keeping the communion open and the communication open between you both? Do you talk? Do you share what's happening? Do you talk to one another or not? I'm just going to keep this to myself. What's the point? What's the point of sharing? He's not going to do anything anyways. What's the point of sharing with my wife? She's just going to complain and nag me and say this, 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 this. It's going to be the end of it. It's going to end my night. She's never going to stop talking. How is your sex life?
What is that? Sex.
I love it when he does that. Do you get it? How is your sex life? Do you remember what that is? That's the question. this is like we're church. If we can talk about sex outside, who created sex? So why don't we talk more openly in the church, guys? That's going to be a marriage conference next, okay? Because then we can talk freely and open and all that. But that's seriously. I shouldn't have to Google and ask Google about sex because Google knows nothing. We need to ask people in the church that knows because God created. He is the creator of
Amen.
That,
that's
right?
Yeah.
So how is that area in your life? Are you satisfied or is it sucking? It's for you to answer. If your marriage is not taken care, your family will suffer and so will your ministry. This is called the domino effect. It begins with the one flesh, which is you and your spouse. Then it passes down to your family, your children, and all of you guys. And then your ministry. This is not going well. My family is not going well. It's suffering. My ministry is going to suffer. It's just domino effect. We want the church to grow. We want the church. It's not going to grow. We want the church to be united. It's not going to be united if it doesn't start here. This is the basis for everything that's going to be built is the marriage. This is where it's at. How is your family doing? How many hours do you work a week? Answer to yourself. When are you home? Do you dedicate that time to your family? We know many families that the husband comes home after a whole day of work, and then they bring the phone and they're still working. But now is your family time. But I'm still at work. Now I got to do it. No, somebody's calling. I got to answer this. I got to. Especially when you have your own business. It's because I can't lose this one. Put a time and follow the rule that you agreed together. When you come home, I know your wife and your husband say, when you come home, can you just forget about work? Your business, your client, your boss, they can wait until you are there next day. No, but I can't. Yes, you can, because that's out of order. You're putting the priority order out of order. And that's going to throw everything off.
If this happens once in a while, that's okay.
Different.
You just
yes.
tell, oh, today I'm going to get a call, and I need to talk about this. This is something important.
But it can't
but
be
not
every day.
Every day. It cannot just be something every day that you come home. Now is the time that you spend with your wife and your kids, and now you're working.
Yeah.
You work the whole day already, now you're home. And God's going to honor this, guys.
Yes.
When you put those things in order, God's going to honor that.
Yes.
You know, so don't, the client doesn't have the power of your life in his hand,
wow.
but God has.
Wow.
So just
God's
trust
way.
Him. Trust him that he's going to put things in
Amen.
Order. Because the clients, they don't care. Sometimes they are going to divorce. They don't care about their lives, but you do.
Yes.
So we need to take care of our families.
I love it. How are your children doing? Do you spend time with them or are you always tired for them? That's a big one. You spend time, do things together because kids like that. Or you always start, no, I can't. Then he's not going to ask anymore, but you wounded that kid. The kid will grow separated, wounded. Then we're going to have to go through inner healing to heal because my father never spent time with me. My mother never spent time with me. That's inner healing. You know that. Okay? Are you listening to them, especially if they are teenagers? They want to talk. They want to communicate. Are you listening? Do you slow down? Come on, what is happening with you? Tell me about your day. What happened? Let them talk. If they don't want to talk, pry a little bit. Try to poke a little bit to see if something comes out. Start to, because you want to, and they are going to start to learn that, well, it's time to talk. They're going to learn to do it. If your children see you always having time for the people at church, but never for them, the message you're sending them is that the church is more important to my parents than me. So what's the point? That's what's going to happen. Our testimony is that we were elders at the church, pastors, and then we, of course, parents and having kids. JV was 16 years old, and Ana Paula was 6, and we opened a business. We opened a cake boutique. Guys, investing, my Lord. It was
don't
big.
Open a cake boutique. Just telling you that.
We were running for 8 years, and we had 8 employees, and it was a lot of investment, money-wise, time-wise, strength-wise, everything-wise that you can imagine. That's how it was. Okay? And then Frank, being our senior pastor, he said what? He said, your priority is your family. Slow down your ministry. We're not saying, okay, stop the church, but he said, slow down a little bit. Back, just put a little break on, because all the things for the family, we're going to do now, said, slow down. Your priorities, you're always your family, but you are launching a business. So give the proper time to launch this, never neglecting the family, and then do a few things for the church as well. We're serving on Sunday, that's the minimum, right? But there was a time we couldn't even do a life group. We had to stop for about 6 months because of how crazy it was to launch that thing. A lot of money invested, but a lot of hours out training. It was a lot. And God told us to open. We had a prophetic word after a prophetic word, and one on the top of the top. And then he spoke to us, gave us so many confirmations, we had to do it. And we are loved that we did. God blessed us beyond. We saw so many miracles, guys. Signs and wonders and miracles. And we're going to share some. But when this happens, if you have a business, you need to put everything in priority. But your family cannot be neglected in the midst of everything. It can't. They can't. The problem with having being self-employed is that everything gets jumbled up in your day. Because you can't lose a client. They always say, I can't lose a client. Listen, God has your clients. Your provision does not come from that. It comes from God. He is your Jehovah Jireh. If you keep the order of priority, He will bless you. He will do it. No, but I have to. No, you don't. You have to really not neglect your family. So we had to just change everything the way we're doing, and then restructure, and then keep on doing, and little by little. So you need to think about how is that happening with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And do you know what? We closed the business.
8 years
ago. Yeah, but who is stuck with us? Our family.
Yeah.
We still have a family.
Yeah.
So there are so those things comes and goes, but our family stay with us.
Wow.
Amen.
That's so good.
So that was point number two. Your family is your first responsibility. Amen. So third point, get your children involved in the ministry. So I don't know how many of you guys have teenager kids that are here and they are not serving, but we need to involve them so they will fall in love for the work of God.
How many people here have kids 11 and over or 12 and over? Raise your hand. 12 and up. That couple and this couple.
Yeah.
Huh? Yes. Wow. So this is good. You guys are going to be able to do the whole thing when they get there. Very good.
Yes. This is amazing, guys.
Can't miss it.
Put them serve in church teams, preferably under other leaders so that they can learn to respect and submit to authority.
Yes.
We always had our kids involved in the church.
Always.
But never under us. Because we wanted them to grow with the other ones, learning from the other. Because we are parents, we are always, okay, that's okay. Oh, you don't need to do this. I'll do it. In the other ones, we will not. And so they'll learn, and they will learn to respect authority. Do you know how many times, not many times, but I need to get my son and go and talk to his teacher and ask for forgiveness for something that he did? So we need to teach them those things. And they love the house of God.
Yeah.
So they need to learn to submit to authority. They shouldn't have a special privilege just because they are your children. This will teach them humility. When you put them under another person. So sometimes they'll come and tell us, oh, but they did this with me. So you're going to go and talk to them. If they did something wrong, you need just take them back there and ask for forgiveness and make things right. And that's the way that you're going to be teaching them. So they will grow knowing how to do it. Help them to develop the love for the house of God. Do you know that they're not just going to be here and mom and dad are doing everything and they are just running back and forth. And that for them, they don't know anything about. So we should be teaching them to serve in the house and give the value in the house because they are going to be the future church.
Wow.
And that's what we want them to learn since they are small. Demonstrate joy for serving the house instead of making serving a burden. You get home and say, wow, that they suck, oh, that person. Don't do that. Because if they are seeing that, say, why do I want to serve? I don't want to serve.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't be doing that. Our kids, João Vitor and Ana Paula, always served. My daughter was still small. She loved to help in the nursery. She was there with the baby. How they like to play with dolls, and they will be there holding babies, and she loved that. And João Vitor was always in the worship. Since he started learning guitar, we put him in the worship, and he was there, serving the house, never under us, because we don't play or sing, but he was the one there. So we should be telling them, helping them to fall in love for the house of God. So when they grow up, there's just going to be something natural in them. You don't need to force them. Fourth point, protect the heart of your children. This is very important, guys. for us as leaders in the house. We need to protect their hearts. We are adults, and we go through some stuff, and sometimes we just, and we are mature people, and they are not. They will hear, oh, that they did this to mom and dad, and they are going to feel in their hearts. So let's protect them. Be careful with the comments you make in front of them. Or you're going back in the car and just talking about something that happened and wasn't something good, and now they're there. Do you know, you think they're just talking? Mm-mm, they're paying attention to what you're saying. Do you know? And later on, that thing's going to come out of their mouth in front, and they're going to embarrass you because it's going to come out in front of somebody that's, oops, sometimes to the person. So, oh, yeah. You know? Yep. Any conflict, offense, disagreement with people from the church should not be discussed in front of your children.
Yes, never
do that. You know, if you need to talk to your wife about, do it. Go in a separate room, you're in your bedroom now, and talk about, but don't talk in front of them. Yes. Because they are not mature. Yes. And you know, in one day you're going to be fine with that person, and you're going to talk to that person, and they're not going to know, but they have that thing in their heart.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to protect them. Never talk bad about someone from the church in front of them. This will affect the way they see that person, especially if you're talking about the pastor or a leader.
Wow.
You know that they are under. Oh, that person, yeah, that's me. So imagine that's the way they're going to be seeing that person. And you don't want them thinking bad about a pastor or a leader. You know, so you need to protect them. Don't say those things. And we see this happening in the church sometimes. You know, that they will just say, and they are so angry, and they'll vent in front of the kids, and they'll see it. It has the potential to hurt them and to close their hearts towards the church. So that's the way that the church people do it. So I don't want to be in the church. I don't want to have anything with the church because they hurt people. Okay? Many adults can't trust because backbiting that goes on backstage. We have so many friends, guys, that they were kids of leaders in the church.
Yes.
You know, and they saw what was happening behind the scenes. You know, and they were hurt. Later on, they had a lot of problem trusting people. Because how am I going to trust people? I remember what my dad said about that person. And we don't want that. We don't want that for them. So we need to protect their hearts. Whenever they are adults, if they are going to go through something like that, they're going to be mature to deal with the situation. But when they are children, they are not. They don't know how to. Then they're just going to get offended and hurt because of those things.
Yeah, and one thing is like they're going to have a hard time trusting. I was with this person, and not too long ago, and this person was new. And I was praying for her, and I saw her like this. In God was giving me this picture of her, like this. And the moment I saw that vision in my head, the Lord said, she is ready to run anytime because she doesn't trust. I said, hold on. Do you have a problem with trust? Or are we broke her? Immediately, bah. I said, I saw you ready to just leave, just run. If anything happens, he says, yes, because I grew up in a church. My parents were always leaders. And I always heard what went on with pastors and this and that. And they're talking, but in the front on Sunday, everybody's nice talking to one another. But behind the scenes, they're just... And it was bad. So today she has a hard time trusting because she doesn't believe that we're real. They were saying the truth. And then I had to minister forgiveness to her. She had to be able to forgive those people. She had to be able to allow God to heal this wound, to see that that's not how it's supposed to happen. So make sure you are the real deal, not one person at home and another at church. Your children, they need to see. My dad and my mom, what they do here in the house is the same thing they do in the church. It's the same they do at Walmart. It's the same thing they do at the work. You are the real deal. You're not a hypocrite. Because if you are a hypocrite, your kid will not be able to stand when they grow up. They're going to run from it. And that's the thing. We wanted to talk to you guys, make an open conversation now. And then we're going to just wrap up. And we have two verses that I want to give you. I think it's on your paper, but we're going to open for them.
Yes, guys. So if you have any questions for us about any of those things or anything else, we just want to give some time that you can ask, and we're going to try to answer.
Pastor Lena, what time are we done here?
Well, we said 8 would be the end.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe
be done by then.
10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys want to ask anything, if you are having any situation that came to your mind, go ahead.
Go ahead.